Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. We have an amazing show today. We have Liv Guillemond with Live Well on the show, sharing just some ridiculously good advice on time management, stress management, and just how to get over the hurdles that life throws at us. Also, don't forget Builder Tactics. Log in, greatest website ever. Download the manual. Building Zen will be live in about a week on Builder Tactics. Check that out. That's the it's a manual, or it's a book on how to not freak out. I share some stories of my personal freakouts in that book. It's got some great advice in there. Check that out. Enjoy the show. It's a little long today, but definitely worth a listen. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right.
So are you going to go through a run-through, or are you just going to try to go hard at this?
Let's do that.
You promised an outline, and then it just didn't produce.
Right. Correct.
Got it. Well, what did you do? Did you put anything together for this?
Of course, I've got a whole page of notes open.
Yeah, I saw that in the trash.
Are you going to share them with us?
Maybe if you ask nicely.
Can you share them with us, please?
Yes, absolutely. That would be lovely.
Liv and I already worked through this while you were doing God knows what in Georgia.
I was just building stuff, dude.
Right. Waste of time.
Excuses.
So let's say the disclaimer. So it's
the ideas and content in this podcast are our own and do not reflect the views or opinions of any current or previous employers.
Correct. You got that right, Jason. Yeah. Nice job.
I've said it 75 times.
Can I just record it for you? And you just play it at the beginning of every.
Hey, you know what's really funny about this is that we have it recorded 53 times. We just haven't ever used it again.
58 times. Believe it or not.
Well, sounds like some stress management opportunities right there.
Right. So there was a podcast where I used a recording because I couldn't remember it, but I saved it somewhere. I don't know what to do with it. Organization helps reduce stress. So today we're talking about stress, in case it's not obvious as a heart attack. So today, Jason, we're talking about stress. So here's somebody made a comment to me yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they were like, oh my God, everybody is on pins and needles. Everybody is stressed to the gills. And it doesn't matter your career. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're in construction like us or whether you're a nurse or whatever your profession. Just because I think it's partially because of last year, everybody was, it's just been a shit show of, a year. And I think it's just, we've got this cumulative effect where people are just freaking the F out because they're so pent up.
Right.
I
feel like that. I mean, granted, we've discussed how our stuff has changed a lot, but I mean, that's what's happened here to a lot of different people, right? I mean, I know that when COVID hit, and I know, what do we say, March 15th, the world changed for a while. And by middle of April, it was like some people weren't working or their job had completely changed. And that is super stressful. It's caused people to change their careers and change their jobs. And, look at you, look at me. I mean, all of us.
Yeah. So today we've dedicated this show to stress. Really, to stress management and trying to come up with ways to
dedicated this show to stress. That's
dedicated
great.
This show.
This show is brought to you by stress.
So we're trying to come up with, so in an effort to help our listeners deal with the stress that they're going through, and I, honestly, as a bit of a therapy session for the two of us, we've got Liv Guillemond on the show with us today. She's a stress expert. She's got Live Well is her company. And she's a performance coach, right? Did I get that right, Liv? You're a performance coach?
Yeah, I'm a performance coach. So I take clients, I assess where they currently are. We assess then potential in particular areas of their life. And then we create actionable steps to get them from where they are to where they want to be.
Okay. I want to be stress-free. Go.
Go. How long does it take? I feel like this is like that episode or that movie, Office Space. Can you just kind of zonk me out so I don't know I'm at work?
Hey, so let me just tell you some of my stress stories, because I have so many. Okay. But about a year ago, no, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, right? So I thought I was having a heart attack. like literally thought I was having a heart attack. So I went to the doctor and said, hey, I'm having a heart attack. What can you do for me? And the guy's like, well, let's put you through all these stress tests, right? So I did an EKG. I did a stress, on the treadmill thing, chest x-ray. I went through all kinds of testing. And when, after like a month of this, I'm sitting in dude's office and he says, he goes, and for the people that are just listening, they're not going to be able to see this, but anybody that watches this on YouTube, they're going to be able to see it. Because he literally does this. He goes, hey, you ever do this? And I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, it's stress. You need to relax. And I was like, what? That's what you got? And he's like, yeah, you're stressed out. See you later. Your heart's
fine. Get on out of here.
Absolutely. So the thing that happens is we have really strong responses to stress because until recently, stress is what kept us alive. The feeling of stress, for starters, we are not our feeling, and stress is a feeling. It is a reaction to a circumstance or challenge that is currently presented strange on you, either psychologically, physically. Those are usually the two that we feel the most. And it used to keep us alive, legitimately. So we used to get stressed because it's like, oh, am I being chased by a black bear? Oh, God, I think it wants to eat me. Am I between it and its cubs? Sorry, black bears would never chase a human. But you know what I'm saying. So at one point, it kept us alive. It was like, huh, it hasn't rained in weeks. I might starve. Let's put on some pounds to keep me from starving. So stress actually has a really fabulous purpose, which is to keep us alive. But stress has not evolved as we've evolved. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm so stressed because I need to get to the bank before it closes today. What? You're not going to die. They can't shoot you and they can't eat you. Why are you so stressed and having the same physiological response you would as though those were the circumstances?
It's quarterly projections is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Quarterly projections. Yeah, it's why I'm so stressed.
It's deadlines.
No, I understand what you're saying, though. It's a natural reaction that people used to have long ago to stay alive, and now it's something that you feel as a result of your own goals and stuff like that.
Right? Well, that's not just long ago. I mean, if somebody's going to mug you, you're going to get stressed.
I think she's talking like early man.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Totally. So a person actually approaching you, that is like an acute situation of stress. It is your body. First, you have that like hit of adrenaline when you're like, oh, shit's going sideways. And then you have the actual release of cortisol, which shuts off your brain, sends all of the glucose out to the limbs so they can legitimately fight something. And that's just not what we're doing. So the problem, though, is our body is going to perceive it the exact same way, that immediate threat of actual death and physical harm. Our brain sees no different than that, than not hitting quarterly projections. They're the same thing as far as our body's chemistry is concerned. And that's why we're so messed up and why stress is, people feel like completely, rules their lives.
Yeah. No, that's it. And not only that, so I know, because I actually did some research on stress. Over time, your body, like we were talking about, the glucose, the sugar that dumps out in your body. I mean, it can lead to type 2 diabetes because all of a sudden you get a shitty diet. So you get all that sugar in your blood. Then you're constantly stressed out. You've got even more sugar in your blood. Next thing you know, your body can't even absorb the, something else to be stressed out.
Totally. The insulin.
Because now you got diabetes.
So, and it's this really vicious cycle because that cortisol is saying, hey, I need more glucose. I just sent so much into the bloodstream that I have to replenish it. So we all reach towards carbs, which sugar is a carb. Yep. And carbs are full of everything that breaks down into glucose, which then becomes insulin. People become insulin resistant because of these shitty stress-based diets. So one of the first ways we can manage stress is by what we consider biohacking. This is how you fuel your body. This is how you hydrate your body. This is how you move your body. It's how you sleep. It's taking the supplements that match where you are chemically. It's going to bed with warm lights on, waking up with blue lights on, things like that. But all the biohacking in the world, if you don't handle the lifestyle, habits, rituals, and routines that have gotten you in this chronic place of stress, you can do all the biohacking there is. You're still going to be really up Schitt's Creek without a paddle if you haven't actually managed the lifestyle stuff that got you here. So I can sleep 8 hours a day, wake up, drink my aloe vera water, get my like lion's mane mud coffee drinking, do my mobility work.
Well, hold on. What the hell is aloe vera water?
It's okay, pretty simple.
So, I'm not drinking that.
So it's electrolytes. So okay. Obviously my suggestion, a lot of us are walking around chronically dehydrated, and hydration is not just water. It's also electrolytes.
There's that aloe in it though.
Oh yeah. It's aloe vera. It is the juice of an aloe vera plant. Mix with some water, some salt, and some lemon juice. Chef's kiss every morning.
I don't understand. When do you put the vodka in?
After 5 p.m., sir. You're responsible adult.
Oh, my bad. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about biohacking. So what exactly, what are you like retraining? Is that like just habits? Are you retraining your body? What is that exactly?
So the biohacking part of it can be broken down into like a few different schools, but the general idea of biohacking is that you're taking where your body is currently showing up chemically. So to really get to know that on a finite level, there are blood tests, you can do stuff like that to get very sophisticated into it. But really, it is looking at what you're doing right now for the physical vessel in order to eliminate stress. So these are things like warm lights in the evening before bed, getting rid of technology an hour before you go to sleep. So I drink the aloe vera water because it has magnesium in it and other essential electrolytes. So that magnesium is a stress reducer. So magnesium either right shortly before bed or first thing in the morning helps people, you know, regulate some of those stress chemicals. Being on an anti-inflammatory diet. So diet is a big part to like the biohacking, the stress system. If you are continuously eating things that are stressing your body out, like you're not doing yourself any good. So I think that's probably a large portion of a lot of people's problems is there's a lot of processed foods, a lot of nightshades. There's a lot of things that cause inflammatory response. We're a dairy heavy culture. I think one of the other issues, like breath work is a great, not just a biohack, but it's a good mental reset.
What
is? I think one of the problems you see breath work.
Breathing.
So I think one of the issues breathing? You see on construction sites, breathing is the only time.
What Liv is saying is you should breathe.
You should eat and breathe and drink water.
You should eat, breathe, and drink water with intent. So that's really what it comes down to is setting up as many habits that have intention-based reasons as possible. And like, I think the most breathing people on construction sites probably get are smoking cigarettes. So like, that's a problem.
Oh my God, it's a huge problem.
Nicotine is actually, so that's the crazy thing, is a lot of people smoke a cigarette when they're feeling stressed and it's like, oh, the nicotine. No, it's the only 2 minutes you put aside every hour to breathe. That's why you feel better after a cigarette. It is not the nicotine, it's the breath work, but the only way they're getting it in is by smoking a cigarette. It's ridiculous.
It's disgusting. If I do say so myself, it's disgusting. But here's the thing, cigarettes, that actually stresses your body even more. I mean, it's good they're getting the breath work, but Jesus, what a disgusting, it's like trying to get water by eating turd.
I certainly don't suggest people pick up cigarette smoking as their method of stress management. That is for sure. That is not my professional advice to anyone.
I can't believe people still smoke this day and age. I mean, we know it kills you, right? I mean, we know that. And people are like, great idea. I don't know. I don't get it. So, go ahead, Jess.
I mean, one of the things that you said that I thought was interesting is like, there's like a whole bunch of things that you can read from a magazine, right? That are ways that are effective to reduce your stress. But what we're talking about is like the very small degrees in the whole warm lights, cool lights, that sort of thing, right? The big ticket items are some of those larger scale things like your sleep and exercise. And tell us a little bit about like some of the things that you should start with. Like just say theoretically, you're so stressed that you can't hardly think and you're seeing things a little bit blurry and your last call ended at 11 and your first one was at like 5:30.
Absolutely.
Are you describing your life, Jason?
What that's going to come down to is setting up. So I'm a firm believer that the actual best method to stress management, as far as when we're talking about these circumstances in which we are greeted with stressful incidences, is to figure out your standard operating procedure for those particular stress triggers. And the only way you can do that is you have to start to become aware of what those triggers of stress are. And the only way you can properly identify the triggers is by knowing your responses. So the more you spend some time paying attention to just how you move through life, will present these moments that are maybe just like these tiny little like ticks of stress, frustration, anxiety, whatever, but big picture are just kind of getting stowed away. So maybe every time you come into the kitchen and there is a coffee mug with a stain in it sitting in the sink that has been rinsed out, maybe that's a little twitch of stress for you. These are tiny little things, right? But if you have a way to negate these small little ones, by the time you hit 1 p.m. and you hit something that's legitimately stressful and worth your attention, you still have something left in the battery to properly deal with it. So the biggest issue with stress is it puts us in a state to be reactive instead of responsive. The more we can gear ourselves towards having responses instead of reactions, the better we are able to manage stress.
What do you mean by that?
So responses are usually what our current programming is. Our reactions are our programming. So maybe your programmed reaction to if someone like runs into you or bumps shoulders with you is to
hold on.
Even worse yet, maybe you have a physical reaction.
I got one. I walk into a house. The goddamn plumber has put tools on my granite countertops again after I told him not to. So I throw the tools out a second story window. That's a reaction.
Is that a reaction? That sounds like a reaction.
A response.
That's a reaction.
Okay. So what a response would be, come in and I say, okay, well, clearly he doesn't understand. Sure.
This is the third time we've had this conversation. I'm going to have to find you $50. That'd be a reaction.
So exactly. So really, it may feel, you know, actually you just nailed it. This is the third time we've had our conversation. There has to be a level of legitimate accountability if you want people. There has to be parameters. If you don't have boundaries on what your expectations from the other person are, these blanket statements of like, I don't want you to put tool, you know, it might sound crazy, but some people cannot understand or have, that's, you know, not really the appropriate, are not of awareness to understand that if you get Fs on the test, on every test throughout the semester, you shouldn't be shocked when your final grade's an F, right? But some people have to have it laid out where it's like, hey, this is the second time we've had the same conversation. I'm documenting it. We should not be having this for a third time. Here are the laid out consequences for the third time, right? So this might be a plumber who you really... In order to put some humanity back into it, and this
is there somebody down here?
Really, and I think sometimes.
Can you? I'm recording the podcast right now. Can you stop slamming doors, please?
So Jason just had a little bit of a response and a reaction in there.
I'm going to kill all of them.
My favorite part is that he took his headphones off and thought that somehow stopped the recording. And was like,
hey, I hit mute. I'm yelling straight into this mic.
So funny.
Oh, my God.
So, but like right there, you did. I watched it. You
literally thought the sound was repeatedly coming from Damien's house. And I was like, this irresponsible asshole. And then it turned out it was my kid. And then I yelled at him without muting my mic.
Yeah. And you cut Liv off again.
Sorry, Liv. I'm sure you were saying something really good, too.
So, Shipe, it was, which is you were just highly reactive instead of responsive. If you had taken a breath and given yourself an opportunity to respond, the following things would have happened. You would have muted your microphone.
I muted it and yelled at them four other times. I'm listening.
Go ahead. So bottom line, parameters, boundaries, having like setting appropriate expectations is always going to be key in your dynamics to eliminating some of the stress, but they have to be appropriate expectations. I think this is somewhere people also get caught up with stress is they end up with this backlog of problems to deal with. And they say, today I'm handling all of these things. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. These are things that we have not managed to accomplish in 10, 14, 21 days. what makes us think that we're going to get it all done today? Have we budgeted the appropriate amount of time? Like, have we legitimately made space in our calendar? Another huge stress management tip. Y'all do not put legitimate time aside. And by y'all, I'm making a generalization. We live in a day and age where everyone's moving at a million miles per minute. You're expected to, if you receive an email, to respond to it in a certain amount of time. Like, a lot of people think this idea of setting aside maybe like a half an hour first thing in the morning, a half an hour right after lunch, and then 15 minutes at the very end of the day to do certain planning tasks, that sounds preposterous. So, like, do you know how much time that you just suggested I put aside to do what? Plan? Don't be so ridiculous. So everyone gets really caught up in these shitty operating systems that they've set up for themselves. They don't take the time to edit. And when they do, they come up with a way to edit and then they never implement because they don't actually unlearn what they're doing. So this is part of the problem with the habit loop. Habits are great because there's triggers, responses, and rewards. But people get really stuck into that. So you can be doing the same thing over and over again. It taking the same amount of time to get A, B, C, and D done. Someone comes into your office one day and shows you how to do a legitimate shortcut from A to D without compromising quality. And people still go back to doing A, B, C, D.
Oh my God. I see that all the time.
All the time. We just talked about that on our last podcast. And I wish, you know, I know you're going to be listening to this, any of our listeners, but you should see Damien in my face while Liv is talking right now. It's like this, like, realization of our own flaws on camera, not just me screaming at my son for being slamming doors at the hall, but literally because, like, I'm mentally taking some notes here and knowing that I'm supposed to be doing some of the things that you're saying, and I'm not doing it because I do get back into the same habits. One of my habits that I just joked about a little bit ago, I love to get up early in the morning and get at my email, and it makes me feel like I'm getting a jump on my day, and it's not always productive. Sometimes I don't really have a plan for the morning, and I end up just kind of poking around four or five different things for a half an hour, 40 minutes while I'm drinking my first cup of coffee. And it feels like I'm getting started, but I'm not really actually doing anything. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Absolutely. So with things like that, so my methods of stress management that I like to implement myself, as well as I found to be incredibly useful for clients, are, for starters, a big one is time blocking. Oftentimes stress, we find ourselves in stressful situations because one of two things have happened. We're either in some sort of stress that is in the sphere of our control, which means there's something we can do about it or could have done to keep ourselves from getting in these circumstances. Or there really are instances of stress that are completely outside of our sphere of control. And we could have showed up any other way than we did, and we would have had the exact same circumstance. When you find those situations where they're completely, there is not a single element within your control, let go of the stress that's coming with it because it was not serving you. It is not edging you towards better performance. It's just stress that's showing up. Honestly, I think it's a little bit busy work stress. I think there's some stress that shows up and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. It's like, but you're stressing about things that at this point are completely outside of your realm of control. So where is that energy really going? It's just disappearing into space. It's not being even used for anything remotely productive. So instead, you have to decide, okay, is this thing that's stressing me out? For starters, you have to be aware that you're stressed. You have to be aware what your own stress responses are. Maybe you pay enough attention to yourself that you know what your early stress responses are. Like true stress, I start to get a little jittery. I can feel even my movements in my body are sharper and they're tighter. And I get a little bit more pacey, bouncing back and forth between A to B. I now recognize that incredibly early on. I can feel it, just my shoulders getting tight and my jaw locking up. I'm like, okay, this is the beginning of a stress response for Liv. This is what my beginning of a stress response is. Maybe you don't realize it until you feel your face get warm. Maybe you're like, oh, not only am I stressed, but I'm pissed. I am hitting a place of stress where I am
into a reactive
state. I go straight there. Right?
I go straight to pissed.
Right? And how hard is it once you're in that place of piss, how much control do you feel like you have over like what comes out of your mouth, what you physically do over that next short period of time? Probably not a whole lot. You're probably on autopilot because we are our habits and our routine. So
yeah. You know, I can tell you
stress management, right?
When I was a younger man, I think I let stress consume me. Like if I get pissed on the job site, shit. Everybody on that job site in a 10-mile radius was going to know about it. Throwing stuff just out of control. I think fortunately, I don't know if I've gotten older or probably I've just gotten better at managing my stress on some level. I've gotten better at managing stress, I think, that gets triggered by behaviors on the job site. You know, there's other things that stress me that are, it's weird. It's almost like I have two kinds of stress. I have stress from shit not getting done that I've said, hey, you need to do this. And then it doesn't get done and I'm gonna get all pissed off. And then there's like stress from like almost self-imposed stress from, you know, I've given myself an arbitrary deadline, but it's not like from an action or something that's going like physically happening right now. It's like a looming deadline or, you know.
Well, it's anxiety. What it actually is stress of the future, which is anxiety. Or it's those. So talking about setting deadlines and watching them completely, you know, pass by you.
What's the difference between anxiety and stress?
So anxiety is just stress of something yet to come. So anxiety is usually where we have a lot of what if, and anxiety is where a lot of our judgment and self-critiquing voice lives. So if you set a deadline, so here's the thing, you setting a deadline and then not setting action steps to meet those deadlines, the deadline's pointless. Everyone talks about how important deadlines are, not if you don't have an action plan. So in situations like that, like if you are someone who finds on particular projects, you passing repetitive deadlines, what I'm going to tell you is the goal and the deadlines are too big for you to work out. So you need to break it into even smaller steps and then start time blocking appropriate sections of time for each one of those steps. So if you're taking on a brand new project and you think it's going to take you an hour, give yourself an hour and 20 minutes. And have non-negotiables about what that hour and 20 minutes looks like. That's another problem. People and their non-negotiables, like people really struggle with just like putting the cell phone down while they focus on things. Every time the phone buzzes, that just gets you off track and isn't going to help you accomplish the things that you've set out to accomplish.
I had to get rid of social media. Because I'm like, I find myself wasting so much time looking at it. I'm like, this is just stupid and a waste of my time. I just deleted all the social media apps on my phone. It's like, F you, social media.
I still look at Reddit. But I mean, yes, I feel like what you were describing is also about putting stress on yourself. And sometimes it's like unnecessary. Do you get that? Or when you really... I don't know about you, but I stress first thing in the morning. I wake up thinking about this stuff and like, you should be asleep for another hour. And instead I get up, and then half the time when I do that, I get up and I kind of come to, and you realize that it's not quite as bad as you were imagining while you're laying there. Does that happen to you guys? I don't know what that is. It's anxiety and it's stress about what's happening now and what could happen in the future.
You know what, man?
Beyond my control.
I changed my morning routine. So it's just like Liv, I have multiple Aussie pups in my house, Australian Shepherds, and I get up every single morning, 5 o'clock, because that's when they start barking, crying, and I take them outside, I make coffee, I take them outside, and I spend the first like half an hour, 45 minutes of my morning playing with my dogs, drinking coffee. It's freaking great. Then I spend another 20 to 30 minutes doing yoga, and then I'm like, okay, I feel great. And I'm like, I'm ready to start my day. No matter what else is going on. I got two dogs that are giving me kisses because they love me. And I got a cup of coffee and I got my stretch on and I'm freaking golden to start my day. And my day went from waking up in the morning, super stressed, grabbing my phone, emails, you know, whatever's going on, to I don't even look at it until I'm finished with my yoga. It's freaking awesome.
changed my morning. I still feel like I'm going to have a heart attack as I walk around the rest of my day. But my mornings, badass.
The mornings are great, though, for real. Yeah. I mean, I need some of this stuff, guys. I feel like we really ought to follow up with like some meeting minutes, and then I should take those and use them. What were you going to say?
So, something great that you guys are talking about. One of the biggest things that I do with people is I help them establish new daily routines. And one of the best just like practical tips I could give to anyone trying to establish a morning or a nighttime routine. So for starters, you should do both. I think a lot of people spend all this time on their morning routine and their evening routine just absolutely falls to shit. It's at the end of the day, they're feeling very like low battery. And just like it just falls apart. They like brush their teeth, wash their face and fall into bed after, you know, watching an hour of TV they're not even paying attention to, whatever. Evening routine, setting yourself up to prepare for the day before is incredibly powerful. I'm saying the stuff like, so I don't do Keurigs, I don't do K-cups, but I weigh out my coffee beans the night before. I wait to grind them, but I put them in my burr grinder. I make sure my like kettle is filled, my water bottle is ready to go for the next morning.
Did you say your burr grinder?
Yeah, she's such a hippie. I love grinder. It.
What's a burr grinder?
Yep. A burr grinder, it's a coffee bean grinder that can do different like amounts of, so if you're doing pour over versus French press, you want a certain different coarseness depending on the bean.
I gotcha.
So this allows you
I'm
to
with you.
I started using that, but
I don't want to get off the topic and just talk about coffee, but I started doing a pour over with a Chemex or Chemex, however you say it. Best fucking cup of coffee Chemex. I've ever had in my life.
Oh yeah, dude, definitely. The individual pour over is so good.
Dude, it's
you can't get any better.
It's awesome. I have an espresso maker that's a badass espresso maker. I don't even use it anymore. I just do the pour over. Shit, it's awesome. Anyway, that's not
And doesn't that become part of your morning ritual though?
Isn't yeah, 100%.
Like, so for me, that's part of why I love it, is it's this moment of stillness. So the easiest, like most practical tip to establishing a routine is write out your morning routine in as much detail as you need to, from when you wake up to when you consider the end of your morning routine. So for me, it's from when I wake up to when I start my business day, which for me is about 8:30. I either start doing Live Well stuff or classes or clients, depending on what day of the week it is. So I wake up at 4:45. That's a lot of time to fill up with like appropriate morning routine activities. But so what I do is like when I write it out, it says like I wake up at this time, I go to the bathroom, do my face, my teeth, do my jade rolling on my face, lymphatic drainage. I go downstairs.
What are you talking about?
Just let her finish.
So I get the aloe vera water going. After I drink the aloe vera water, I bring the dogs in. As I'm feeding the dogs, my bone broth is heating up on the stove.
When do you have time to pray to the moon?
So I usually do that right after my breath work. Get barefoot in the morning for 3 minutes. So it might sound a lot, but if you're keeping yourself on track, it just feels like a highly productive 2.5 hours. So it's 2.5 hours, but I've done all of my self-care for like my entire day. So I get to float through the rest of the day. Like my body feels good. My mind feels good.
Yep.
I know what my day looks like. All of my time has been appropriately planned. So like my like lazy bones time, my like laying out and doing nothing time, that also has a time holder on my calendar. And it's because for me, building boundaries to my time actually freed a lot of it up. And it comes down to eliminating what my stress distractors are. And my 100%, my big one was my cell phone. So when I'm doing stuff, particularly stuff that I'm not too keen on doing, the phone has to go away and I set my non-negotiables. I set non-negotiables and I set goals. Okay, 20 minutes at a time. Break your day into 20 minutes at a time. That's called the Pomodoro method. It is pretty much the longest amount of time we can keep our attention on a singular object.
Except for this podcast, in which case, much longer.
Except for this podcast.
Right. You know what I was going to say, though? If you accomplish those things in the morning, that's a win for you. You start your day with a victory, you know, and that's huge.
I feel good. And I think ultimately, like, so, okay, my morning routine reflects the things that I really value in my life. And I live with multiple autoimmune diseases and have suffered pretty bad brain trauma from knocks to the noodle off falling off horses. So for me, feeling good, I put a lot of value on feeling good. And so I spend all of my time in the morning working towards the things that are important to me, which is feeling good. So like I budget some time to vacuum my stairs because I have 3 dogs in a cottage in the middle of nowhere.
Amen.
I get home and be stressed about the dog hair, right?
Everywhere.
So like,
yep.
If the dog hair is going to be stressed, if the dog hair is going to be stressful later on, if I take care of it now, I'm not going to encounter the stress, you know, in a little bit. So I set up my routine to help future live, and future live doesn't have to be live 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road. Future live is the live of, you know, this evening.
Like, are you going
to get super hippy dippy, but you know,
yeah, I'm a big proponent of rituals in the morning, or we'll call them routines, not rituals, but just because I feel like if I can get through, like if there's certain things I got to do. That I want to do. Like yoga is a big one for me. It's big. You know, if I can do a minimum of 15 minutes of yoga, I feel like it's a win. I shoot for 20. I'm usually about 25. But if I can do that, I'm like, I am winning, because it's an accomplishment first thing in the day. And it just makes me feel good all day long. Besides the obvious effects of the physical effects of yoga. I just feel like I'm winning all day long. I'm like, I'm winning. Yeah, I did my yoga. Because days that I don't, I am like, I just feel like a shithead. I'm like, ugh, I can't do anything. I couldn't even do yoga this morning. I suck.
Absolutely. It's just like, I know there are lots of people out there who don't make their beds, but it's like, why not? And it's like, oh, I'm just going to unmake it when I get back into it. It's like, I'm telling you, this small, teeny tiny micro step of accomplishment first thing in the morning, it just sets your foot on the right pace. So my other thing is, if I don't have this morning routine where it's like ding, 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 and granted, a lot of it is like woo-woo, like fun wellness hippie stuff, I take it as a very serious regimen. And when I do not do that, my mornings are just all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, where did the past 2 hours go? So the reality is the time's going to go by either way. And do I want to look at my morning and say, well, what did I really do this morning? You know, my unemployed working dogs were outside running around chasing the sun. And I was sitting on my phone on Instagram watching Australian Shepherd videos. Like, how backwards is that? I've got
Wait, what?
That's hilarious. Yeah, because that's exactly what you'll do, right? Yes. I totally understand.
You just get sucked into the stuff that you're like, wait a minute, you know, you spend all, you know, and it's just me personally. I know that the way my brain works is if I don't have strict boundaries, which comes back to non-negotiables and boundaries, saying no, setting rules to how you're going to do something is actually really freeing. So like with stress management, again, if you have an approach to handling a certain circumstance, and every time you use this particular approach, it ends up with you and the person that you are working with both being in sour moods, but the thing eventually gets handled. Like, how much of it is really a win? And for some people, it'd be like, well, it's all the win it needs to be. Okay, that's fine. You got the thing, quote unquote, done, but like, what if we can find a better way to do the thing? What if we can figure out a way to make that dynamic work for us and not against us? So one of the things you were talking about when you said having show notes and then having follow-up meetings, the real level that people are missing out on is the level of accountability. So
what do you mean by that?
I think a lot of people do not have members of their tribe or their group or themselves that can hold themselves accountable to the things that they want to achieve. So if you make a to-do list for yourself at the end of the day, if the things that don't get done affect your family, your household, stuff like that, there's consequence. There's a level of accountability. If some of these things are not going to bite you in the ass until the very end of it, people let it pile up because it's missing that level of accountability. So, example, people do not necessarily assign a lot of value to handling things piece by piece if it's only going to bite them in the ass if it doesn't get done at the very end. If there are no steps of accountability and checkoffs along the way, Like, that's why you end up with all these people doing stuff at the 11th hour, and they're like, well, I got it done just on time. That kind of mentality, which I think is what causes a lot of stress.
Sounds like my 18-year-old son.
Sounds like me.
Oh.
Let's kind of wrap up. So if you had to give somebody, you know, 30 seconds worth of advice on how to, because here's the deal. Everybody knows people are super stressed. Right now in construction, the opposite of what we thought was going to happen a little over a year ago, where everybody was like, oh my God, everything's going to shut down. There's not going to be, we're going to have to board all these buildings up, blah, blah, blah. The complete opposite happened and construction went batshit crazy and exploded everywhere. And as a result, people are running around, their workload is doubled, they're super stressed, they've got deadlines. And if you had to give somebody just 30 seconds worth of advice from LiveWell, what do you got for them?
The first and most important piece of advice I'd say is make space to breathe. Because if you cannot settle yourself down, if you cannot find your center, if you have yourself in such a tizzy that you cannot find your breath, then you are going to be useless to yourself as well as those around you depending on you. So make space to breathe and break everything down into as small as and as actionable steps as possible. So you can't just be, I'm stressed about my schedule of delivering houses. Okay, that's way too much. You can't tell me that you're stressed about every, like, all however many houses you're building. There have to be some that you feel good about the schedule on. You know what I mean? So you have to break it down. You have to break it down into actionable steps. I think everyone should take time to do a self audit of what their current systems of organization are. So
I like
having
it.
Standard operating procedures set that are built off of intent, because that's the big thing. They can't just be willy-nilly. The more intention you can put behind every step, the easier it is to automate. Anything you can automate will become a habit. And ultimately, when we are under extreme amounts of stress, we are going to fall back on our habits. So you best like the habits you've built for yourself, or else you're really going to be in a pickle.
Yeah, no, that's actually really good advice. Cause I know one of the things, you know, in Jason and I were in service, they always say you fall back on your training. You know what I mean? So
if you condition yourself to do it wrong, when you do end up against it, you're going to end up falling back into those old habits.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. If somebody's like, that woman is a sage, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way to find me are two places. I'm either available via email at livewell@icloud.com. So LiveWell, it's the name of the business. It's LYV, live with a Y, WELL @icloud.com. And I'm sure you'll include that in your show notes. Instagram. My Instagram handle is @livewell. So LYVWELL. I'm available online and in person. I do a full range of things from wellness coaching. I am a certified mobility specialist, holistic wellness coach, life coach, as well as I do lifestyle consulting. So I help people take audits of where they are in their lives, help them create actionable steps towards getting to where they want to go. And I also assist them with the accountability to get there. So
awesome.
The whole idea is that LiveWell is a method of living. And it is my hope that I can help people to help themselves and to live long, happy, joyous lives.
Awesome. And I know you're going to be doing a podcast here shortly. So when you do it, when you get that sucker launched, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, I'm going to make it part of my routine that I desperately need.
There you go.
Yes, boom. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for having me on. And this was a little bit more controlled chaos than I was expecting. But we get to the next level of stress management.
There you go.
Awesome. All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks, everybody. Hold on.